Welcome back to the Relegators Podcast. My name is Phil. This is the podcast where me and my best bud Carl go through the relegation promotion system in the top tier English soccer. Carl, it's been 2 days. How's it been, buddy?
Oh man, it's been a magical 48 hours. If you don't mind, I wanted to tell you a quick little story about our favorite manager, Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, what do you got?
So recently, Wayne Rooney, he was worried that all his players were shitty. So he decided he was going to call a good manager to try to get some advice. So he calls Sir Alex Ferguson. And he says, "Sir Alex, my team, they're terrible. What should I do? How can I make them better?" And Ferguson says, "Okay, here's what you do, Wayne. Next practice, I want you to go set up a bunch of cones out on the field and have your players dribble around them. This will help them improve their ball control in tight spaces." Wayne Rooney says, "Okay, simple enough. I can do that, set up cones." And a couple weeks later, Alex Ferguson calls Wayne Rooney to check in on him and says, "All right, Wayne, so how's it going?" And Rooney says, "Not good. The cones beat us 3-0.
I'm glad you brought up Wayne Rooney because I did have a funny anecdote that I found. Well, it wasn't an anecdote. I found a chant because I was going through some Stoke City chants. I don't know if you've seen this at all, but they have one chant directed at Wayne Rooney that's and all they're saying is, "You're a fat granny shagger." So it goes, "You're a fat granny shagger. You're a fat granny shagger. Fat granny shagger." And I was going to wait till we brought up Argyle later in the episode. But now that you brought it up, I had to share that with you.
I don't know where they get this stuff from, if there's like a tabloid story or something. But I can get with that. If we're not going to win any games this season, at least we can
call you can shit on fat, Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, call people fat granny shaggers.
Yeah, I thought that was great. So a little behind, little VH1 behind the music to stay up on all the action and keep up throughout the week and editing throughout the week. Me and Carl have been midweek recording, Monday night recording to try and get everything. It's all separate and then we pile it together. So just 2 days off since the last time I talked to you.
Yep, we're like the U.S. Postal Service. We don't take days off unless it's raining real bad.
Well, let's get started, Carl. The quote-unquote action would start Tuesday at Turf Moor, where Burnley hosted Derby County. Burnley dominate time of possession, and both squads would get a couple of chances, but neither side can pull the lid off, and this match ends in a nil-nil draw.
Yeah, not much really to report. Burnley dominated the possession. Dominated the shots, touches in the box, 38 for Burnley, 6 for Derby. The only note that I had was that Jeremy Sarmiento on Burnley has quite a nice neck tat.
I didn't see it. What is it?
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't zoom in far enough.
Just big neck tat.
Big neck tat. You know these EFL Championship cameras. They don't close.
They're not 4K.
Yeah, they've got one camera like at midfield up above the seats, and they just stick with that the whole match. So I didn't get I'll have to look it up. Next episode, I'll have a full dissection of his neck tat.
Yeah, update us on that one next episode.
I will.
All right. We move to the Stadium of Light, where Sunderland hosted Bristol City. Another game where the home team dominate the time of possession with nothing to show for it. We would finally have a breakthrough in the 62nd minute when Sunderland get the ball into the 6-yard box. Bristol could not clear it as the ball pinballs out to Luke McNally, who takes advantage of a confused defense and sends it home. Patrick Roberts would level the game up for Bristol in the 90 plus 3 with a great pass from Adil Aouchich and Roberts puts it top shelf on the short side, stealing a draw from Sunderland 1-1.
Stadium alight. I noticed lots of empty seats in there. I mean, it is a Tuesday daytime match. I mean, I don't know if, I guess some people have jobs in England, so not everybody could make it. The McNally goal for Bristol, they should have had the Benny Hill music playing
Yeah.
during that, 'cause that ball, yeah, that was just it bounced all around the box. A couple of Sunderland guys had it hit off of them and they just couldn't control it.
Yeah, couldn't get it out.
And then Roberts top bins to steal the point. Sunderland almost won the match. That guy hit kind of like a reverse header. He was facing away from the goal and he tried to head it, and the Bristol City keeper made a great tip save to tip it over the bar, so saved a point for them. But yeah, some disappointment for Sunderland, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Bristol definitely stole a point in this one, so.
Yeah, good for them.
On to Hillsborough, where Sheffield Wednesday hosted Blackburn Rovers. Each team would put one off the woodwork in the first half, but it would stay scoreless until the 68th minute when Blackburn would put the pressure on in the penalty area. Joe Rankin Costello with a nice pass off the end line back to Mokhtar Gieye, who heads it in, giving Blackburn the lead in the win, and the win, excuse me, 1-0. Carl, Blackburn did not wear their blue and white kits, but they still get the win, their fifth in a row, their fourth straight 1-0 victory.
They finally got away from those absolutely heinous slight against humanity, just terrible uniforms. They wore these pastel pinks, which I never thought I would see it as an upgrade to be wearing pastel pink, but it is barely. Sheffield Wednesday actually dominated, not dominated, but they outperformed Blackburn in most key stats, not by a whole hell of a lot, but they definitely could have at least taken a draw on this one. Also, Blackburn, have you noticed the sp shirt sponsor for Blackburn?
No.
I guess it's a law office, but I think the name's kind of funny. It is Watson Ramsbottom.
Yeah, they had some advertisements I noticed for them in the stadium. So, yeah, I didn't notice that that was the kit sponsor as well.
Yeah, I haven't been this unintentionally turned on by a sponsor or anything since Deepdale Stadium at Preston North End. So Watson Ramsbottom.
Rams bottom in the deep dale.
Rams. I thought these games were at least PG, if not G rated. You're toeing the line here.
We move to Elland Road, where Leeds United hosted Middlesbrough. Carl, this was a DraftKings match of the week. Do you remember what you put on
Yeah, I do. I don't really want to talk about it.
it?
For some reason, still unbeknownst to me, I just was like, oh, Middlesbrough will win this on the road. And that was a huge mistake.
Yep, you put $100 on Middlesbrough, draw no bet. I put $100 on Leeds straight up. Leeds get started in the 14th minute when Dan James's cross into the 6-yard box is initially stopped by Middlesbrough keeper Senny Dieng, but he could not corral it, and Willy Ignato picks up the scraps and kicks it in. Middlesbrough would square it up in the 54th minute when Maximilian Wobber would accidentally head the ball into his own net off a corner from Daniel Barlaser. Leeds get back on top in the 74th minute after a steal in the midfield. Joël Pirou passes to an open Dan James, who absolutely whistles the ball past the keeper. Another midfield turnover for Middlesbrough would get Leeds into the penalty area with some nice passing, and the tic-tac-toe would end with American Brendan Aaronson tapping it in the 90th plus two, sealing the victory for Leeds 3-1.
Yeah, absolutely stupid bet by me in retrospect. And Leeds is the team, like I say every week, they're the team that I think is gonna win the whole league. And why I would go against them at home against a up and down Middlesbrough team is just absolutely befuddling to me. And I need to take a long, hard look in the mirror, which I'll do. I mean, I do that a lot anyway, but I'll do it extra hard after that. But yeah, Leeds. First, yeah, Willie Nanto, my tiny hero,
Yep.
my favorite diminutive player, gets another goal. I love watching his little self run around the pitch. He's the same height as me. It's an inspiration. And then
He's
yeah, Dan
probably
James.
about like 100 pounds heavier than you of all
Yeah,
muscle,
he yeah.
though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if we were doing chicken fighting on people's shoulders, yeah, I wouldn't stand much of a chance. But Dan James' goal was nice, and then if Brandon Aaronson had only turned around and stuck his ass out at the ball,
You
my
predicted that like last week, though. You didn't predict it for this game.
yeah, I know. But if he ever does it, and if it ever happens, then I don't know. Then I'm like Nostradamus,
You're
because
just hoping for an Aaronson ass goal at some point during the year.
yeah, I just want sometimes I just pull these random ass predictions out of thin air, and that, but then I start believing that they could actually happen, and I start rooting for them. Like, I don't even remember any of the match because I was just so focused on Aaronson trying to score a goal with his ass. But yes, good win for Leeds against a pretty strong Middlesbrough team.
Yep, big win for him for sure. On to Wednesday's action, we start at MKM Stadium. Hull City hosts Watford. Not much action in the first half. We have to go all the way to the 82nd minute when Abu Kamara gets inside the penalty area and makes a cross, seemingly to Chris Bedia. But Marvin Malum flies in out of nowhere with a leaping volley to direct it past the keeper. Watford fight back in the 88th minute when Kudawo Ba drives through the whole defense all the way to the end line when he makes a perfect pass back to Rocco Vatta, who puts it home to square the game up. And that's how the game would finish 1-1. Carl, Chris Bedia gets credit for Hull's goal, but it looked to me like it was all Malum.
Yeah, the announcers said that there was a deflection. I watched the replays a couple times, and I was trying to tell where it was, because like obviously the goalie was very confused, caught flat-footed, like going the complete wrong way. So I mean, something had to hit something. Did you see?
No, it looked like it was Medlem to me. Like I did not see it. Like I said, Bedia got credit for it. That's
Yeah.
what they have in the scorecard. But it looked like Medlem just came in out of nowhere, footed it in. Definitely got it. Went cross grained from which way the goalkeeper was going. So I don't know if that's a VAR thing where I'd figure just the broadcast would be able to see it. So maybe they saw something I didn't. I watched a couple replays, and I thought it went off of Malum.
I couldn't tell. And yeah, obviously in the championship you're not going to get reviews for stuff like
I
that.
don't, yeah, but that shouldn't be something you have to review. It's not like a VAR,
Right, it's a goal.
Yeah, you should just be able to see it on the telly and correct the mistake. But I don't know, maybe they saw something that we didn't in the highlights.
Yeah, after this I'm going to watch this replay over and over in slow-mo, like the JFK Zapruder film.
Back and to the left, back and to
Back
the right. This
into
one we went to the right.
the right, back into the right. Yeah. So I read the, or I didn't read, the announcer said during the lineup announcements that Watford was starting nine players from nine different countries in their starting 11, which
Wow, yeah.
is pretty cool. So they're like the United Nations of the English Championship, which is kind of cool. And I wonder if that causes any like communication barriers. I mean, I know they're all playing in England, so they probably all have a basic grasp of the language, but that's kind of interesting, I thought.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. And the moose is still sad.
Yep, still sad after that one.
Yep.
We go to the Den where the Millwall Bricks hosted Sheffield United. Exciting action in the first half for both squads, resulting in a couple of chances each way, but nothing on the board until the 42nd minute when defender Jack Robinson puts a wonderful long ball right on Gustavo Hammer's foot. Hammer would just center the ball in the box for Rian Brewster to drill it in the wide open goal, giving Sheffield the 1-0 lead. The second half would mirror most of the first half, with both sides getting some chances in the offensive side of the pitch, but nothing coming of it. Sheffield get the road win 1-0.
Guess how many shots on target Sheffield United had?
The one.
Yep.
I've got my stat sheet up right here.
Yep, they had one shot on target. Speaking of FIFA rage matches, when you're playing a match against a team and you lose 1-0 and they have one shot on target and it's a goal, that's a rager right there. So
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised you're not talking more about that long ball from Robinson. That thing was set up the whole goal. I had to go through Sheffield United notes. I had to go find Sheffield articles, some play-by-play articles, because they never really replayed the long ball, so I couldn't tell who it was off the highlights. I had to do some research to figure out that it was Jack Robinson. But it set up the whole play.
yeah, I mean, just even reading the well, in the recap, yeah, it says their goal came from a pinpoint long ball from back to front from Jack Robinson. So at least on the BBC they mention it, but just kind of in passing, they didn't like gush over it maybe, which it might have deserved.
They did in the article I read, so at least someone else appreciated it like I did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that broke down the whole defense and made it resulted in a pretty much an easy tap in.
Yeah, it was wide open for I lost his name for Brewster.
Brewster's Millions.
That's all I was thinking. I was like, man, I wonder if there's a Brewster's Millions clip I could throw in here, but couldn't think of anything off the top of my head. I'll have to rewatch the movie. It's been a while since I've seen it. Love Pryor. So, before we get too far, Carl, we did go head to head in this. Do you remember who you picked?
I know who I picked, and it wasn't the winner. I know that.
$100 on the Millwall Bricks, draw no bet. I won the $100, draw no bet, -120 for Sheffield United and Brewster's Millions.
One shot on target. That's
Not gonna let that one go.
oh God, I'm starting. Yeah, they're starting to get up to Burnley levels of hatred for me. Like the only thing that would have made it better or worse is if it was a penalty that they scored on in like the 88th minute. But congratulations, Phil. Keep piling up your cash.
Yeah, so far 2-0.
Ugh.
We go to the Hawthorns where our favorite West Brom Albion hosted Coventry with their new manager. What's his name again?
Frank Lampard.
Frank Lampard. I should definitely know that. I'm embarrassed that I forgot.
I'm
But
embarrassed for you.
thank you. I appreciate it. West Brom get on the board first in the 11th minute when Tom Fellows' shot gets blocked by the Coventry defender, but the ball lands right at the feet of Alex Mowat, who puts a shot on target and then gets deflected by midfielder Josh Eccles, and the keeper has no shot to recover. Coventry would keep knocking on the door of the West Brom goal to no avail. Finally, West Brom dashed the dreams of Coventry in the 74th minute when Carlin Grant receives the ball well outside the penalty area and dribbles past the Coventry defenders and drives the ball past the keeper, putting the baggies up 2-0, and that's how the match would finish. So, no new manager bump in this game for Frank Lampard.
Yeah, no new manager bump and the baggies.
The baggies with a big win.
The baggies, they can still get a victory. Yeah, like you mentioned last week, after drawing 10 of their previous 11 games, incredible. Only the baggies' second win since beating, I don't know who they beat last time?
I can't recall.
Wayne Rooney's Plymouth
Plymouth
Argyle.
Argyle. You're just a fat granny shagger.
Oh, Wayne Rooney's becoming quite the answer to many dubious trivia questions, and it's fun to see. But yeah, good win for West Brom. They needed that to get back on the horse, get back towards the playoffs. I did see one thing. They did take off Josh Manja at halftime.
Yeah, I hope hope he didn't get a knock or anything like that.
I hope it was just strategic. But it's gonna make it hard for him to catch Borja Sainz if they only let him play half the game.
Yeah.
But West Brom doesn't care at this point because they finally
Nope, they got the 3 points, yeah.
got the 3 points, and they send the Hawthorns fans home happy for once.
Before we move to the weekend games, Carl, since we did a little VH1 behind the music and we were able to get through these midweek fixtures, we did have a DraftKings match of the week where we had to bet blind. I took the draw for Watford and West Brom coming this weekend on Sunday, and you took Watford with draw no bet. Do you want to know your odds and possibly change your pick?
Yeah, sure. Let me hear it.
Your odds on the draw no bet -115 for Watford. Actually, Watford and West Brom were even -115 both ways, draw no bet.
Boy.
+170 if you pick either of them straight up, they're both even, +220 on the draw.
Yeah, you know what? Let me switch it over to the baggies.
You want to do draw no bet?
No, I want to go straight up.
Straight up
Two in a row for the baggies.
+170. All right. And then we are going to move to our weekend fixtures. The weekend's action would start Saturday in the Deepdale, where Preston North End hosted Leeds United. Preston get the counterattack going in the 23rd minute when Milutin Osmajic takes the ball into the offensive third and makes a wonderful cross at Brad Potts' nets to give Preston the 1-0 lead. Leeds would have their chances, but some good saves from Preston keeper Freddie Woodman would keep them shut out. Finally, in the 90th plus three, Leeds get on the board when Dan James makes a nice cross into the 6 yard box and the ball goes off Jack Walmutt's boot into the Preston goal. This game ends 1-1 thanks to Walmutt's own goal.
So I'm pretty convinced at this point that Leeds, their downfall could be their keeper, Melier. He let
Yeah.
in a soft goal in the first half. I don't trust him. And Leeds has a good attacking team. They have talent all across the lineup. But this Melier guy, I just don't buy into him. I'm curious to see if they'll make a change or if they'll just kind of roll with him. I mean, I still think Leeds is the favorite to win the whole league, just with their scoring ability and their attacking play. But I don't know, man.
Something about the keepers.
Something makes me a little nervous. I'd be nervous if I was a Leeds fan.
We move to Bramall Lane, where Sheffield United would host Plymouth Argyle and our favorite Wayne Rooney. Sheffield would come out firing, and in the 19th minute, a Sheffield corner gets headed out right to an awaiting Gustavo Hammer, who absolutely drills it past the keeper from just inside the penalty area, giving the Blades an early lead. Pretty even play in the second half as Argyle would not go down quietly, but in the 88th minute, Argyle's Brendan Galloway takes out Tom Davies in the box, resulting in a penalty, and Kiefer Moore puts it past the keeper, giving Sheffield the 2-0 lead for good.
Yeah, great goal from Gustavo Hammer. That thing just needled its way in between like a few players, his own player and defenders. Great goal. So Plymouth was on the road again. Yeah, Plymouth on the road. Wayne Rooney. This should not be embossed on his business card this season. This should be a throwaway, you know, get rid of it, forget about it, burn the tape. Yeah, Wayne Rooney, I love the guy, but it's not going so well.
Yeah, that fat granny shagger might get sacked at the end of the year.
At least he always has fat grannies to fall back on in his bag.
We moved to Riverside Stadium where Middlesbrough took on the Millwall Bricks. Middlesbrough get on the board first when Emmanuel Latte-Lott partners with Finn Isaac Azaz for a little give-and-go action, and Lott puts the ball in the net to give Burrow the 1-0 lead in the 10th minute. The Bricks would get a couple of chances in the game, but a couple of great saves from keeper Sol Brin give Burrow the clean sheet, 1-0.
Yeah, but they got that early goal from Latte-Lott. So he's from the Ivory Coast. Now, can you name the greatest Ivorian soccer player of all time?
Gosh. No.
So in my mind, and I think most people would agree with me, it is Didier Drogba,
Sure.
Chelsea legend, Ivorian legend. But Latte-Lath, he's got a long way to go to catch up to Drogba, but he's I've heard some rumors that he might be getting some attention from some Premier League clubs. So we'll see if Latte-Lath gets signed by someone big in the January transfer window.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of players that we're following here in the championship are getting some interest from Premier League teams. So,
Yeah.
January should be an interesting month for the transfer window.
Who else? You got any names?
Joe Bellingham.
Maybe Real Madrid will sign him and they can do the brother
Put
thing.
the brothers together. Don't they play the same position though?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. No big deal. But yeah, good win for Middlesbrough. This team is like they're right there. But like it seems like they're just gonna lose next week and
And when
still.
they lose big. They lose like
Yeah.
4-0, 5-1.
Yeah, I don't know what this team's deal is. 'Cause like they have talent and Latte-Lath is a good player. But yeah, they need to string like a few wins together to get into the playoff position. We'll see if it happens. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I mean they're right there in that last playoff spot for promotion, so you're right. A couple wins in a row would definitely do them a lot of good.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know who they play next week. We'll find out. But if I was a betting man, I would say bet on them to lose because they just won.
they play that fat granny
Oh
shagger in at Home Park in Plymouth Argyle.
Oh, at Plymouth. Well, I'm calling a draw on that one.
We'll get to that later. We go to Swansea.com Stadium where Swansea take on Sunderland. The Swans would jump on top right away in the 5th minute when Matt Grimes would send a ball into the penalty area. Gets headed seemingly straight up, dropping at the feet of John Vipanich, and he slams it home. In the 17th minute, Swansea continue their hot start as Liam Cullen bends a beautiful free kick into the top corner, giving the Swans a 2-0 lead. But Sunderland would answer back in the 28th minute when Trey Hume curls a free kick into the box and Dan Ballard dives in and heads the ball past the keeper. Sunderland would tie it up in the 73rd minute when Dan Neal blasts an absolute screamer into the top corner. Shortly after, Joe Bellingham helps Sunderland complete the comeback in the 75th minute after Patrick Roberts centers the ball into the 6-yard box and Bellingham runs up to finish the job. Sunderland stunned the Swans 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much covered everything that I had to say about all of this. The first goal for Swansea, yeah, that header, that thing was in the air forever. It was
Yeah,
like,
and it was weird how it just dropped at his feet and there was no defender there. Like you would
yeah.
think like mark him or go for the ball. Either way, there should be someone there.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate goal for Sunderland to give up. Yeah, Liam Cullen, great free kick.
God, that thing was a screamer.
Yeah, Dan Neal's shot was a rocket. Great shot by Dan Neal. And Sunderland, they just keep finding ways to win. Swansea, that's very disappointing for them. That this was one that could have been big for them.
Yeah, 2-0 lead. I almost talked about the most dangerous lead in soccer, the 2-0 lead.
I was thinking the same exact thing. 2-0, the most dangerous lead. And Sunderland, big win for them to stay up in the top three.
Neither one of those screamers, though, were my favorite goal. We'll get into my favorite goal of the weekend coming up, but
Oh, I'm curious.
huh?
I'm curious.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about it. I loved it. Before then, though, we moved to Ewood Park, where Blackburn Rovers hosted Luton Town. Blackburn adorn their most famous kits in this
Oh
podcast short history, and they
no.
do not disappoint in them. 19-year-old Amario Kozier Dewberry would get his first goal in his first start in the 32nd minute with some nifty footwork, getting his body in between the defender and the ball, then turning around and threading the ball through two Luton defenders and past the keeper. Blackburn would add on in the 40th minute as Yuki Ohashi's cross is missed by Mokhtar Gay, but Owen Beck strides in and blasts the ball past the keeper for Blackburn's second goal of the game, and the game would indeed finish 2-0. This is Blackburn Rovers' sixth straight victory, including wins over second place Leeds United and sixth place Middlesbrough on the road.
Blackburn looks like a playoff team at this point. They just keep doing it, despite their ugly kits. Amario. So forget the name Amario for a second, but the
Okay.
last name, hyphenated, Cozier Dewberry. Is
Yeah.
that the most British shit you ever heard in your life?
Is
Like,
he British? Do we know?
I'm pretty sure he is. I mean, come on, his name's Cozier Dewberry. What, that's not Italian. I
That
mean,
means nothing in 2024.
all right, we'll look it up.
I'm looking
I
it.
guarantee you he's British.
Born in London, England.
London, England. Yep, there we go, baby. Luton's still a mess. Blackburn made easy work of them at home. Blackburn to me is a playoff team.
Yeah, they look real good right now.
They're on a streak. And I think they're going to be in there. You look at a team like Middlesbrough or like Watford, they're kind of a little bit up and down. Like, they have really high highs and really low lows. But
Right.
Blackburn seems to be kind of more consistent. So I'd say Blackburn is.
Well, remember they were inconsistent at the beginning of the season, but they have definitely pulled it together in the last, month and a half, 2 months.
They found their form for
Yeah,
sure.
for sure.
So unless something changes, I think that they're a maybe third, fourth, fifth place kind of team.
Yeah, I mean, if this keeps going, they can definitely push for the top two automatic promotion spots. So,
Yeah, that'd be cool.
on to Sunday's games. First, we go to Vicarage Road, where Watford would host West Brom United or West Brom Albion, excuse me. Carl, this was a DraftKings match of the week. Do you remember what you put?
No.
Well, you put $75 on West Brom straight up after you
No.
switched it from Watford. Originally had
No.
Watford blind betting, and then once I gave you the odds, you switched to West Brom. I didn't do much better. I had $100 on the draw, and so we both lost this one.
Oh, why, God, why?
Carl, Josh Maja would start the game after being pulled Wednesday by manager Carlos Corberan. Corberan would say that West Brom were getting beat in the midfield, so he wanted to add another midfielder. That's why he got pulled. Vakun Bio would get the first of two goals for Watford in the 35th minute as Rocco Vata crosses the ball into the box and Bio heads it into the back of the net. Deja vu in the 50th minute when Vata again crosses the ball into the box where Bio is ready and waiting. This time takes it off his chest and blasting the ball off the second touch. Jason Malumbi would get one for the Baggies in the 67th minute when a block shot from Mikey Johnson ends up at Malumbi's feet and he smashes it home. The goal would not be enough though as the Hornets hold on to win 2-1.
Vakun Bayo, this guy's a player. This
Yeah.
guy's good.
I
Rocco
like this guy.
Vanta. Rocco Vanta had two great crosses, right? I mean, it was deja vu. Like I said, he just got to his spot, crossed it in, and Bio was waiting. I liked both players.
Yeah. So do me a favor, look up Watford mascot Harry the Hornet.
I've seen
Now, we thought the moose looked sad,
it.
but now they have this hornet that's their mascot, and that somehow looks even more depressed than the moose. Like, what is going on in Watford? What's in the water?
Yeah, it looks more like a dog.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a hornet at all, really. It's really stupid looking. Go ahead and do yourself a favor, Google this on your own time. Harry the Hornet, Watford mascot. Yeah, it just looks like it's had the worst run of luck in its life. Like, it
The
looked like it
first picture on Google is him standing over a sprinkler, so it looks like he's pissing.
pissing. I see that too, and it's if you're Donald Trump, maybe that's erotic. I don't know, but yeah, Harry the Hornet, very depressing. But Watford, yeah, they're I mean, West Brom and Watford are competing for these spots, so that was an important win for Watford.
Big time.
And yeah, not much else to say, really.
Nope. We'll move to Carrow Road, where Norwich City took on Burnley. The Canaries start right away in the second minute when Jose Cordoba heads in an outswinging corner from Marcelino Nunez, giving Norwich the lead. Not much going for either side until the 64th minute when Ziyech Fleming is subbed in for Jay Rodriguez. Fleming starts right away in the 68th minute, blasting a missile by the keeper from 30 yards out, tying the game 1-1. Shortly after, in the 76th minute, Burnley presses the ball into the penalty area and Norwich cl can't clear. The ball finally ends up with Josh Brownhill, who gets it by the keeper from a crazy tight angle, and Burnley go up 2-1, and that's how the game would finish. Carl, that Zian Fleming goal was my favorite of the weekend.
Yeah, I said I had Fleming, great strike. Yeah, no doubt. First of all, I want to say, so your favorite player in the championship, and also is kind of becoming mine, Borja Sainz. He has immaculate hair and facial hair.
Lot of product.
Yeah, a lot of pomade going on that thing. That thing's a fucking grease puddle on his head, but it looks great. And combined with his facial hair, like, just immaculate
Yeah,
look.
but he looks like a movie star.
He does. And he's playing like one. Didn't get a goal, but I think he had one where it got saved. That could have been a goal. But
Yeah, I think he had one really good chance, and he might have had another, excuse me, another one that got saved. But yeah, one really good chance there today.
yeah, so for the championship, this was my match of the week. This was the best match in my mind. Two pretty good teams, especially Norwich at home. That's when they play their best. And yeah, they got the goal in the first minute, and they had to be feeling pretty good. And they were actually attacking Burnley pretty well throughout that first half. And Burnley was under threat. Like, it could have easily been a two goal or three goal lead, but it didn't happen. And then I think on the first Burnley goal, the announcer, this time a male, said they had three bites at the cherry. How many
I
bites?
don't, yeah, I don't remember that. I did watch this whole game, and the commentator did say Zian Fleming on loan had a flair for the dramatic, like really, but couldn't, he only had like one goal this season for Burnley. They were waiting for him to pull the lid off. But once I saw that, I was like, oh, he wasn't lying. Like, this kid has got a boot. Like, he
Yeah.
just rocketed that thing. That it was, I was very impressed.
Yeah, it was great. But just to reiterate, I'm tired of these English announcers increasing the amount of bites that you have to take to eat a cherry. Last time it was two bites of the cherry. I was like, all right, that's a little much.
Now it's three bites of the cherry. Like, where does this end?
I'm pretty sure, I don't want to be sexist, but I'm pretty sure it was the same commentator in the Premier League I heard again saying it in the, which game was it?
Yes.
The Wolves Ipswich game. I'm pretty sure I heard her say it
Yeah,
again.
but
I thought of you.
this time for this match, it was a male. It was a dude, and he said three bites of the cherry, and I was like, okay, come on, man. What are we gonna get to, like 12 bites at the cherry? Like, how big are these fucking cherries in England? How big are they? Anyway, all right, I'm off my soapbox.
No worries. That was our action for the week in the championship. Let's take a look at the standings. Still in first place with 45 points, Sheffield United. Still in second place with 42 points, Leeds United. Still in third place with 41 points, Burnley. Still in fourth place with 40 points, Sunderland. Moving up a spot, Blackburn Rovers get 37 points. They're in fifth spot. Middlesbrough drop down to sixth with 34. They've got a 7-goal lead over Watford, also at 34 points in seventh place. And West Brom have that last, well, I guess it's two away from the last playoff spot at 32 points in eighth.
Yeah, I definitely think the West Brom manager is kind of freaking out a little bit, like what you said about him taking off Modja at halftime because the midfield needed more juice. I think he definitely knows that there's something not quite right with the team, and that's why they're sinking. But Middlesbrough rising up a little bit. Winning against Millwall. But yeah, Leeds. Sunderland, I'd say those are the top two, and Sheffield, those are the top three, and those are the best teams in the
Sheffield's
league.
been really good. They've got a 3-point lead
Yeah,
at the top right now. So, yeah,
yeah.
I'm
So I
with you. And
mean,
Blackburn, like we talked about earlier, coming in strong.
yeah, Blackburn. I mean, they could. I mean, there's still a long way to go, so they could get up in there in the top two. But yeah, those top two spots. I mean, that's where you want to be, obviously, for that automatic promotion. But I think we're in for a fun ride with the playoffs, because there's some good teams, but they're all like a little bit flawed.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. Let's take a look at next week's action. Saturday, we go to the Den where the Millwall Bricks are going to host Blackburn Rovers. Millwall looking for a new manager bump after manager Neil Harris resigned before the game this weekend. Who do you think's got this one, Carl?
What we got, Millwall versus Blackburn? And is that the Den? Dude, like, I want to go for Millwall because I really want us to follow them, but I mean, Blackburn is cruising right now. It could be a draw. Shoot, man, that's a tough one. I'm gonna go with Blackburn on this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Blackburn have it. We'll be looking for that new manager bump for Millwall, but I don't know how that's going to go.
So the manager resigned?
Yeah, so he called the fans a bunch of thickos after the midweek game and then like resigned the next day, but like finished out his last game before leaving.
Wow. Neil Harris. Okay.
Yeah.
So he was just over it.
Well, from what he said, he left the team in a better place than when he got it. So this is second time he's resigned from Millwall. I think he's their all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there. Yeah, wow. I mean, who knows? I mean, with like ownership and things like that. I mean, he said he blamed the fans.
Yeah, he called them thickos, which I had to look up.
Thicko. Yeah.
Basically, called them idiots,
Yeah. Like thick
thick-headed.
skulls. Yeah. Wow. That's even more interesting. But yeah, I'll stick with Blackburn on this one.
Yep, same here. Next game, we go to the Stadium of Light where Sunderland hosts Norwich City. Should be a good game, Carl. What do you think?
Norwich away from home, give me Sunderland, no question.
Yeah, we'll be watching our guy, but
Yeah, who
yeah.
knows?
Actually,
Maybe
you know what? I think Borja's due. I think he gets a goal in this
Patrick.
one. I don't know if they win, but Saenz has been knocking at the door, hasn't got a goal in a few games. I think he's due. He's gonna get one here.
Yeah. Stop being such a pussy. Just call him for a hat trick and be done with it.
Next game, we go to Home Park, where Wayne Rooney's Plymouth Argyle hosts Middlesbrough. Plymouth at home and Middlesbrough on the road might be a recipe for disaster, Carl. What do you think?
Yeah, I could, I gotta go. I'm gonna go and draw on this one.
Draw.
I mean, Middlesbrough obviously should win. They're a better team, but Plymouth at home, they're definitely more of a home squad. They feel comfortable at home. I don't even know where Plymouth is in regards to geography in England. Do you have any idea?
Looks like the very south. It's like the very southern tip.
Yeah, well, that's out there. Damn. So Wayne Rooney is like out in like nowhere.
I
Like that's
mean,
like.
in England, though, the further south you go, the better it gets, right? That might be like the Miami of England.
Yeah, I'm maybe. I mean, if they have a Miami, but all I'm saying is if it was the CEO shooter. That's where I'd go to hide out, is somewhere like Plymouth.
That's where he made his mistake.
That's yeah, I should have gone to Plymouth. He should have been like Wayne Rooney's assistant manager. No one would have ever found him.
I think Middlesbrough will probably take this, but it'll be a close game, maybe like 1-0.
Yeah, it'll probably be close, and I could see it going either way. I don't see Plymouth winning, but crazier things have happened, and yeah, I'm gonna go with the draw.
All right, we go to Elland Road, where Leeds United hosts Oxford United. I'd say Leeds probably take this one handily. What do you think?
Yeah, no question. I bet against Leeds, I think a couple weeks ago. At home, I think, even maybe, or maybe they're on the road, I can't remember, but I'm not making that mistake again. Leeds is a strong team, and Oxford is not, so it's a pretty easy choice there.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, Oxford's got like they're in 20th spot. Yeah, 20th out of 24, so they're just barely hanging on to not get relegated. So,
Yeah, I could see like a 3-0 or 3-1 or 4-1.
yeah, for sure, for sure. Next game, we go to Turf Moor, where Burnley hosts Watford. Carl, this is a DraftKings match of the week. Let's pull up the odds. Burnley, Watford. Burnley, heavy favorites in this one, -155 at home. Watford +425. A draw is +275. Draw no bet. Burnley -450. Watford +295. Who you got?
This is absolutely fucked for me because I swore that I would never bet on Burnley ever again in my life, but they're at home and they're playing an inconsistent Watford team that I don't trust on the road. But I can't bet on Burnley again. I said I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know why they're such heavy favorites. It's not like they've been playing great.
I mean, I don't know. They've been pretty good. But I mean, they won at Carrow Road last week against Norwich, which is a pretty tough place to play. So they have the
Yeah,
capability
but they
to.
went scoreless at home against Derby.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. God, this is a tough one. I'm gonna go ahead and I wanna go with Watford $100 draw no bet.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Just for the odds alone, not really anything worth betting on Burnley for. I'm not super impressed by them. I mean, not that Watford's been great, but I think Watford can draw with them. And if they pull out the win, then it's big money. So I think I'm with you on this. We'll both go $100 +295 on Watford.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go ahead and say Yakun Bio brace.
Brace. Oh, that's heavy.
Yeah, I believe in him.
All right. Next game, Cardiff City Stadium. Cardiff City hosts Sheffield United. Carl, who you got?
I gotta go with Sheffield on this one. Cardiff City, they're going to Wales and playing on the road, but Sheffield United has been pretty solid, no matter where they play
Right.
lately. And I think Tyrese will get back on the board, my boy. So yeah, I'm gonna call Sheffield 2-1.
Yeah, I think Sheffield get the greasy chip booty in this one. I think they get the win and they stay on top of
Love
the
that
table.
sandwich. Have you tried that sandwich yet?
No.
I think we both should. I think maybe by next week we should both eat it and see how it goes.
No, I think I've been thinking the more we do this podcast, the more we kind of need to make a pilgrimage out there and go catch a game. Well, when we do that, when we head out to England, we'll live like the locals do and get some greasy chip booty, but not a minute sooner.
So we're gonna travel all the way to England and we're gonna go to Sheffield. Is that what you're saying?
And no, I didn't say that. I said somewhere. We could figure out where later, but yeah, I don't think I'm gonna try a greasy chip booty until I'm there.
And we have to eat it while riding the tube.
Isn't that only in London?
Don't know. But we have to eat it while riding the tube, and we also have to be about 8 pints deep of Guinness, or well, I mean that's
No, they have I forget what the drink is. It's in the song. I'll have to listen to the song again. But they drink a gallon of something, and I'm spacing on the name of it.
well, you do me a favor and listen to the song again, 'cause I ain't.
Final game in the EFL Championship on Sunday. We go to the Hawthorns where West Bromwich Albion take on Bristol City. Carl, who you got?
I mean, obviously, it seems like the easy answer is West Brom. Yeah, I'm gonna go with West Brom. I think they'll 2-0 it. What about
Two
you?
nil. Yeah. They're kind of due. Would they have one win, one loss last week? They're not looking great. I didn't get my draw win. I'm gonna go draw again. I'm gonna stick with the draw. I'm gonna until they really screw me over on that one. I think I'm pulling for them to draw. So.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's a fair bet. I think the last match they played at home, I think they won 2-0 against someone, but they look pretty good. And I think Bristol City is a ripe team for them to get a win. So yeah, I'm gonna go with West Brom to win 2-0.
All right, and we have to move to the Premier League.
Let's go.
One game for us Saturday in the Premier League. We go off to Mullinell Stadium where Wolves hosted Ipswich Town. Carl, this was a DraftKings match of the week. Do you remember how much you put on it?
God damn it, I don't.
Well, this time you got a winner, both me and you. You put $75, I put $100 on Ipswich Town, draw
Oh.
no bet, plus 185.
Yay! Finally, something good.
Carl, Wolves manager Gary O'Neill stripped Mario Lemina of his captaincy after Lemina started fights after the game Monday night with East Ham's Jared Bowen, fellow Wolves teammates, and even Wolves assistant manager Sean Derry. O'Neill also left our favorite goalkeeper for all the wrong reasons, Jose Sa, off the squad for the second straight game. Ipswich Town would start strong in the 15th minute when Omari Hutchinson has a wide open shot, but the Wolves defenders get back just in time to block the ball, but it would land in front of Connor Chaplin, who drills the ball at net, pinballing off multiple defenders before going in and giving Ipswich the 1-0 lead. Matt Doherty is credited with an own goal, but the bad defending was a team effort from Wolves. Wasn't all bad for Wolves when in the 72nd minute, Mateus Cunha receives a nifty pass from Gonzalo Guedes and beats the keeper short side to tie it up. Wolves would get their chances to win, but couldn't break the glass. Instead, Ipswich steal the win in the 90th plus four when Jack Taylor heads in the corner from Jack Clark, and the Tractor Boys take the 3 points with a 2-1 win. Carl, last week we talked about Wolves manager Gary O'Neill possibly getting the axe after the loss to East Ham, and Sunday it finally happened. O'Neill is sacked after four straight losses.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask you about that. So he stripped homeboy of his captaincy, and then he got stripped of his job. I mean it's deserved, but I thought they would give him a few more games to hang on there. But yeah, Wolves they just give up too many goals. The first one. That was unlucky a little bit. Like you said, pinball. I think it went off Totti was the guy, the defender.
It went off a couple of guys. Totti, and then it goes off of I'm looking for the name, sorry. Doherty is credited. So it hit one defender, went off Doherty, and then it goes in off Doherty, so he gets credited with the own goal. But it hit multiple defenders. They couldn't clear it. It was bad defense all around.
Yeah, but I do want to give Wolves credit. They are shitty, but at least their shittiness is kind of fun to watch. Like they lead to like fun matches. You have other teams like Southampton is just boring as fuck. But Wolves, yeah, they suck, but they actually make it worth watching. And I'm like, oh, we get another Wolves highlight. Okay, let's see what happens. Ipswich. Big win for them. If they're gonna stay out of the relegation zone, yeah, they needed wins like this on the road. They could be there. The Wolves were pretty feisty with the attacking. They just couldn't piece it together besides that Cunha goal. Strand Larsen had a couple near misses. My favorite Norwegian, besides Haaland.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's like a 7 foot tall Norwegian on Man City that would have some words with you.
The brute. Oh man, I wish we could talk about the Manchester Derby. That's another thing. But
Oh man, I watched that one. What a
yeah.
collapse.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I love this new version of Man City that loses all the time.
Makes Man U look good.
Yeah. But yeah. So new manager. We'll see if we get the new manager bump after Gary O'Neill's gone.
Yeah, going back to the Gary O'Neill thing, I guess after Monday night's game, he had said, I've done all I can. It's on the players now. And a lot of people interpreted it as like, well, if you've done all you can and we're losing, then I guess you're good. We're gonna find someone who can get a little more out of the players.
Not a great thing to say for yourself.
No.
I've done all I can and we suck. Yeah, I mean, I think that makes the decision pretty easy as far as management goes, but good win for Ipswich. I'm glad to see them do it. Now, let's see if they can maybe get a win at home finally.
The Tractor Boys.
Yeah, let's see if they can make Ed Sheeran happy for once.
I mean, you can't play Wolves every week.
You can't.
I
But they've got multiple wins, but they're all on the road.
did. Yeah, I didn't know that. So,
Yeah. I mean, they beat Liverpool, right?
they did. I know Nottingham beat Liverpool. They might have
Oh, am I
drawn.
tripping?
No, yeah, wasn't that like the first game where they went up 1-0 against? Yeah, that was the first game of the season. They went up 1-0 against Liverpool. They might have got a draw because in the next week they
Oh,
have Man City.
they beat Tottenham.
Tottenham, who has had some collapses against some shitty teams. Speaking of Tottenham versus shitty teams. We go Sunday to St. Mary's Stadium where Southampton hosted the Spurs. The Spurs start right away. 37 seconds in, James Madison gets a pass from Jed Spence and just rolls it past the keeper. It would be a long day for Sunderland as in the 12th minute, Sun Heung-min gets one in under the diving keeper. 1 minute later, the Spurs are driving again, and Dejan Kulusevski just waiting in the 6 yard box for his chance, and he delivers. In the 25th minute, Pape Sarr gets the ball at the edge of the box. Some nice dribbling and a nice shot past the keeper puts Spurs up 4-0. James Maddison would get his second in the 45th plus four with a beautiful goal from an impossible angle. A nice pass from Son gets Maddison to the edge of the 6 yard box. One touch to let the defender go by, and Maddison sticks it top shelf over the keeper's shoulder. Five goals from Tottenham Hotspur, all in the first half, and the game finishes 5-0.
Yeah, what a blowout. I'm a Spurs fan. Where is this team week to week?
Again, you can't play Southampton every week.
I mean, they lost to Ipswich at home. So
Yeah.
they play shitty teams, they still can lose. Like, this team is just so inconsistent, it's crazy. Like, they have all the talent to just dominate, but they just can't put it together.
And their games are high scoring both sides. Like they lose by a lot, they win by a lot.
They're like a rich man's wolves. They're fun to watch, but anything could happen. They could blow it in spectacular fashion, or they could dominate like they did against Southampton.
Right, that great viewing for a neutral. You know you're going to get an exciting game, but if you're a fan of the squad, it's worth tearing your hair out.
Yeah, it's maddening. If I
Yeah.
had hair, I would have torn it out a long time ago. Destin, so Spurs have a player. His name is Destiny Udogie. Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah.
Okay. What is Destiny Udogie's nationality? You'll never guess it. And you might, but you probably won't.
No, I don't know. Tell me.
Italian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Udogie. I could see it.
I mean, I mean, that sounds like Nigerian or something. But Destiny Udogie, yeah, Italian. So like he's like Balotelli.
Yeah.
Yeah, but except his name's not quite as Italian as Mario Balotelli. I mean, that's like the most Italian name your
Yeah.
life, right?
Yeah.
I miss that guy,
His
by
name might
the
as well be spaghetti lasagna.
way. I miss that fucking crazy
Man,
bastard.
those were some fun times. I do remember that's like when I was just getting into European soccer. I was like, this guy Balotelli is outstanding.
Yeah, we watched the Euros, and I think he scored a bunch of goals for Italy.
And he was also a maniac. He was like the Antonio Brown of soccer.
Oh
It's
yeah, that guy was nuts. Like,
like
unpredictable. Yeah, I love Balotelli, even though he's insane. But yeah, good call, Antonio Brown of European.
All right, let's take a look at the Premier League standings. We did some scoreboard watching this week. First team, Crystal Palace, won 3-1 at Brighton. So they're going to be in 15th spot. We're going to keep them out for now. Next team in 16th spot, Everton FC, drew at Arsenal. That's a big draw for Everton. They're in 16th spot with 15 points. Next team, Leicester City, lost 4-0 against Newcastle at home. They stay at 14 points in 17th spot. We're going to bring Everton and Leicester back in with the win from Ipswich Town. That race is getting closer. Like I said, Crystal Palace will still scoreboard watch, but we don't need to follow their games closely at the moment. The relegation zone. We have Ipswich in 18th with 12 points, begging to get out of there, clawing to get out of there. Wolves in 19th with 9 points, not looking good. And Southampton with a mere 5 points in 20th spot, pulling the caboose of the train.
Yeah, what have I been telling you about Crystal Palace? Is Carl right, maybe? I
They
know
played well.
I know it's a
Brighton's a
rarity.
good squad, and it was on the road, so they have played well. You were saying it from the beginning of the season. They just it took a while to get over the Atlantic to hear it.
Yeah, they're one of those teams that it's like they're never gonna compete for Europe, probably not, but they'll always be feisty enough to be out of the relegation zone, and it might take a few months, but here we are. I mean, anything could still happen, but all right. So Southampton, they're done.
Yeah.
Wolves, they're probably done. And then who we got in 18th?
Ipswich is fighting to get out of
Ipswich is a
relegation.
fighter. They could make it out.
There's only two points separating them and Leicester, and 3 points between them and Everton. So
Yeah, I
three
think
teams within 3 points for that final relegation spot.
yeah, I think we could be looking at a three-team race between Leicester, Everton, and Ipswich for that
Yep.
last spot.
Definitely possible.
But I don't, I mean, if you were gonna put money on it right now, who would be the third demoted team in your mind?
Yeah, I'd probably have to go with Ipswich. Leicester, very rocky. Everton's kind of pulling their form up. I think they lost 4-0 last week, though, too.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's tough. I do like Ipswich Town, but if I had to pick between the three of them, yeah, it'd probably be them.
Yeah, if I had to put money on it, I would probably go Ipswich. But I could see Everton diving down, but it seems like they always just survive somehow. Like, even though they suck,
Yeah.
they always just find a way to like finish 16th or 17th or 15th. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting for sure.
Yep, we got ourselves a race.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at this week's matches. Saturday, we go to Portman Road, where Ipswich Town hosts Newcastle. Newcastle's been on some strong form lately. I think they take this one. How about you?
Yeah, Newcastle is good. But at you know what? At Portman Road,
Yep.
give me Ipswich, baby. I'm
All
going.
right.
Give me Ipswich. You want to go head to head?
Yeah. Let me take a look at the odds real quick. Let's just check out draw no bet. +240 Ipswich, -340 for Newcastle.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So I'm thinking maybe the sharps in well, I don't know what the UK version of Vegas is, but whatever that is, they
Yeah,
must know
they
something.
are not giving Ipswich a chance.
Yeah, so but yeah, I like those odds. I'm gonna go with Ipswich straight up.
Well, no, we'll go with draw no bet, so one of us will win.
Okay.
Won't get any odds on that, but I'll beat Carl. That'll be worth it. +240.
No, you won't.
Dude, I'm on fire right now, man. You sure you don't want my betting advice? I'm killing the NFL and the Championship and Premier Leagues.
I know. I kind of hate it, but
Next
sometimes you just gotta face reality.
game, we go Sunday to Goodison Park, where Everton hosts Chelsea. Chelsea's on fire right now. Definitely don't see Everton doing anything. I think De Everton will be good if they keep it within three.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. Chelsea is absolutely killing it right now. I think they're within 2 points of Liverpool for the top spot in the Premier League, which is totally unexpected. Nobody expected this from Chelsea for
Yeah,
them to.
one less game played for Liverpool though, because of the
Oh,
cancellation
okay.
from Storm Dara.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I gotta go with Chelsea on this one.
Yep.
No, yeah, no much.
Not much to say there. Nope, I'm with you. Next game, Craven Cottage, where Fulham hosts Southampton. Fulham, another team that's been in good form lately. And obviously, Southampton, the worst team in the league. I think Fulham take this one easily.
Yeah, I agree. So Fulham, they're, I think he's a left back. Yeah, left back. Anthony Robinson, he's an American. He's actually one of their captains now, and he's still pretty young. So it's pretty impressive to see a guy, and I don't know if you watched him play at all.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of Fulham this weekend, and they were talking about him, but it was just kind of in passing. Like they've just been impressed with the American and
Yeah.
how he's been
Do
playing with the squad.
you know his nickname?
No.
It's Jedi.
Oh,
Jedi.
yeah.
Yeah. But he's he's dynamite coming down the left side. He just does he's basically a wing back, even though say he's a left back, but he just does overlapping runs, and he's basically an attacker half the time, and he's super fast. His only thing is that sometimes he loses control of the ball when he's making these crazy runs, but he's a great player. And also, Fulham has Tim Ream as a center back. He's also an American. So yeah, I mean, easy reasons for us to root for Fulham. But yeah, Fulham doesn't need our help against Southampton at home,
No, I
so
don't
we
think
should take
so.
that.
And the final match, we go to King Power Stadium where Leicester City host Wolves. Carl, this is a DraftKings match of the week. Wolves looking to get that new manager bump after they just fired O'Neal. And let's take a look at our odds. We've got Leicester City as the favorite, plus 145 straight up. Wolves plus 170. Draw plus 260. Draw no bet. Leicester minus 125. Wolves minus 105.
Draw.
Gonna call a draw.
What do you think?
Leicester at home. Get better value with Wolves, but yeah, I think I'm going to go with you on this one. I think I'm going to call a draw.
Yeah, new manager bump, but Leicester at home. I think those two kind of cancel each other out a little bit. So draw sounds good to me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Before we get out of here, let's take a look at our DraftKings scoreboard. Carl, this week you went 1-0-3. You lost $90, dropping you below the Mendoza line. You're at $989.65 for the year. I went 3-0-1, winning $255.28. I am now at a whopping $1,820.28. You sure you don't want to start following my gambling advice, Carl?
You son of a bitch. One of these weeks, it's gonna come crashing down. I don't know when it's gonna be. Now you've piggybacked on a couple of my bets this week. So now I'm wondering, am I maybe getting right in my bets? Like maybe I'm starting to come to my senses. I don't know. But yeah, 1800 versus my less than 1000. I'm not happy about that. I'm happy for you. I love that for you. But yeah, I definitely want to see it all tumble down.
Yeah, we'll see after this week. If I have a losing week, I might have to make sure I just fade Carl.
Yeah, that might be a smart choice. We'll see.
Carl, it's been great. Thanks for joining me this week. Yeah, say bye.
Yep. All right, everybody. As-salamu alaykum. Alaykum as-salam. Big up yourself for listening. Have a good one.
Thank you everyone for joining us again. We had a blast and we will see you next week. So long, Carl.
Later.